Golf Talk America is brought to you in part by Club Corp, the world leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you this morning. It is October the 22nd, Monday, and we'll be talking today about what happened over the weekend on the PGA Tour. All the players that were playing at the CJ Cup at Nine Bridges in Korea were in action, and we have a new number one in the world. We have, which is not a big surprise, that Brooks Koepka has elevated himself to that, because we've all seen it coming. That's how good he's been playing. And so congratulations to Brooks Koepka for getting that. We don't know how long he'll hold on to it, because it seems like it is changing hands an awful lot lately. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and Brooks. We also have Earl Forsey with us with PGA Tour Radio to discuss the finer points of golf, the upcoming schedule. And we may ask him something about that Redskins-Cowboys game too. But that's down the road a little bit. We're not going to worry about it just yet. We'll get to it maybe momentarily. With us, as always, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. How you doing today, Frank?
Block that kick. Block that kick.
Oh,
I'm doing
or just
good.
Put up some goalposts. Just put up goalposts.
Let me tell you real quick before Earl comes in with us.
Sure.
I'm doing the Ray Stevens tournament today. I think you're doing cystic fibrosis in Dallas. Ray Stevens, who's a big-time entertainer. Vegas shows, whole thing. Funny guy. The Streak. Mississippi Squirrel. Tons of songs. Everything is Beautiful. One of his big hits. Anyway, his charity golf tournament is today. Well, last night was the party at his big show place called Cabba Ray. Get it?
Got it.
And everybody who's anybody in the music business was there. It was incredible. And I'm going to have to talk to Ray today in the tournament about the wine he was serving, because it hurt me. It hurt me.
It's his fault.
His fault that I was sitting there with a bunch of producers and record people who can outdrink me 10-1, and they're used to staying up until 1 in the morning. Not me.
Oh.
Anyway, just got back from French Lick, too, and we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yep.
But
that was a long week, great time. Yeah.
Lar Davies, wow.
Good.
Wow.
We'll have fun later today. We'll talk a little bit about that tournament, too, because great cause, and you planted that every year, so. Yeah, a lot of activity going on here. Thankfully, the weather seems to be cooperating. We've had nothing but rain in Dallas for about the last month, so I think we're going to be able to get out there and play, which everybody's got some cabin fever around here. So,
in
a lot of parts of the country. Yeah, yeah.
Well, sorry.
Geez. Wow, you just were laughing at my pain and misery.
Well,
I don't know why that's so
like
funny.
Crap, too. Come on.
Well,
you know.
They gave it a shot. They gave it a shot. We're leaving Earl out. I know he's chomping at the bit, so we'll get into NFL talk here in a second, because he's all on top of that. You know, Earl, of course, is the voice of PGA Tour Radio, also works in the market in Washington, D.C., doing local radio and involved in Redskins pregame, postgame, everything else, Redskins and NFL, so we'll talk about that. But first, let's welcome to the show. Earl, thanks for being with us today. How you doing?
How you doing? Hey, Frank, are you sure it was the wine that did it? That's kind of like the Cowboys blaming the missed kick for the loss yesterday.
Oh! Earl, I think you're down the road.
It's everything.
And not the lack of run defense, and not the lack of a run game.
Play calling.
You're blaming the wine. I don't know about that.
Yeah. Lots
good
of
one.
It.
I'm with you, Frank. I'm with you. It's the wine. Yeah. Now I'm with you. I wasn't before, but now I am. Hey, Earl, so now we got a new number one, Brooks Koepka. You won at CJ Cup, Nine Bridges, for people that missed it. And, of course, it's a tough one to keep on track of, because it's very different time zones from where we are here in the country. But Brooks wins the tournament at 21 under par, shoots a 64 in the final round. So he won fairly comfortably over Gary Woodland, four-shot lead and victory over Gary Woodland. And Ryan Palmer was right back there, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, and Jason Day. All of them playing very, very well. It was a good tournament with a lot of good players. And the cream rose to the top. Brooks Koepka, in winning, becomes the new number one. Do you think, Earl, that we're at a point here that if we're going to have number one, it might last several weeks, might last a few months, maybe even a year, but we're going to have this changing hands a lot. The days of Tiger and guys that hold on to it for a long, long time are gone. We're going to see a lot of switching hands of the number one ranking.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where you are. You know, who's going to dominate like that? That's almost it probably still was impossible to do. Tiger did it, but it was impossible to do, even in that era. So, yeah, I mean, I think, look, I think the number one thing in the world, I mean, we know it, week to week, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, it doesn't mean anything in any sport that where there's rankings. Who cares? At least those rankings are, you know, in golf are based on performance. The other rankings in other sports are not based on anything but people's opinions, which I don't have much respect for at all. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I ask someone's opinion. Who cares what someone's opinion on is something? But, you know, so at least the rankings in golf are based on performance. But what do they really mean? You know, a guy that's ranked 600th in the world, 1,000th in the world, goes out and wins a tournament. So, you know, I think it's nice. It's if I were a player, that would be one of those things. You want to win a major, you want to be number one. I mean, that's, it's kind of a feather in the cap, and it's something you put on your Twitter bio and, you know, your resume at the end of your career, former world number one. And once you get to number one, even if you don't stay there, you're still a former world number one. So I think in his case, you know, it caught up. I think, you know, usually the golf rankings, because it's a rotating, you know, 2-year deal, sometimes it takes them a while to catch up to what you see, you see as reality that moment. They're not instantaneous. You know, I think for this year, I mean, look, he won 2 majors and, you know, that player of the year. So I think that all kind of syncs up, and it probably reflects the current state of things right now.
There is definitely a little bit of money. These guys will tell you that too. That's not a thing that they broadcast an awful lot, but a lot of their sponsorship does increase and based on their world golf rankings. And I know that for guys like this, it probably doesn't matter when they're making millions and millions and they can't even count it all. But I do know some guys that are a little bit lower down in the rankings when they go from 87 to 72. Yeah. You know, it puts like another 75 grand in their pocket or something that they get from Nike or some of the different sponsors.
Let me dispel this whole thing with money. It always means something. I don't care who you are. If you're Bill Gates, it means something. So
thank you.
Yeah. To me, it would mean that mean something. You know why? Because I'm the type of guy that money means everything. And unfortunately, that's why I'm such a sourpuss most of the time. Because I'm in this business and we'll never get paid what I'm worth.
I can't.
But that's another story for
another. I wish the weekly.
So I want to dispel that. Eric, you know, I know no one wants to talk about money, but guess what? It is the most important thing. Sorry, but that's what it is. And to someone like me, look, I kind of love what I do sometimes. But if I didn't get paid to do what I do, I wouldn't do what I do.
Yeah.
Period. It's
not working for free.
Well, sorry. I hope Dave's not listening. No, I'm kidding.
Can't. And the Redskins won. Yeah, I know. Still on fire.
Earl's mad at somebody.
Well, I mean, that's just a myth. That's just a myth. There's no one that play. There's no one that plays or does anything, in my opinion, for the love of it.
You know what? And I think here's what I'm thinking. I'm sorry, when I'm watching a golf tournament,
maybe there's someone that does, but they're a different person than me. Because I'm with you for the almighty dollar, not for the love.
In the sense of if I'm watching a golf tournament, I really do think that when a guy knows he's not winning, but he's in, you know, in the hunt.
Yeah.
That there's some point on Sunday where he knows that if I go for this, but I dunk it in the water, that I'm going to lose. And he knows because the next day he'll see that it cost him $100,000 for that bogey. And stuff. I do think that these guys have to think, as much as they don't think of it. It's like, why am I going to lose $100,000 so that I finish eighth instead of ninth? I want to get my money.
And this is golf specific, but I'm just saying, general across the board, look, why is Le'Veon Bell holding out in Pittsburgh? Is it because of playing time? Is it because they're not a Super Bowl contender right now? Is it because they're not in first place in their division? Why is he holding out? One word.
Money.
Starts with an M. Ends with a Y. Okay? So don't tell me
misery.
That athletes don't care about it. Why is Kirk Cousins not with the Redskins now? Because he wanted to be on a team where he was loved and respected? No. Why? Money.
Well, okay. Maria Bartiromo is up next on Golf Talk.
What would Earl be talking about if the Cowboys actually kicked that field goal and won the game?
He would be talking about a Redskins win in overtime. That's what I'd be talking about.
Probably. You gotta love it.
Probably.
You know, the Redskins now are, and they're going to beat the Giants this week. I mean, I'm guessing.
Oh, sure.
Sure on the road. Which means they're going to be guaranteed outright first place going into the second half of the season. You know, everyone around here kept, well, it's only 1 week. It's only 2 weeks. Guess what? Now it's only 7 weeks. And there's only 17 weeks in the season. So you're about halfway through and they're in first place. And they've been pathetic. You saw that team yesterday. They didn't, look, the defense is really good. The Alabama wall, as they call it, the two kids they've drafted, back-to-back number one picks, Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen.
Yep.
From Alabama.
Good boy.
Did a pretty good job against Ezekiel Elliott. So those guys are great. The defense is really good. But Alex Smith has kind of been what you saw yesterday. Kind of just, you know. But you know what? And we'll get to this later. But it just made me think about it. And I mentioned Kirk Cousins. He's thrown up all those stats in Minnesota. Great, fine. But for years, and I was one for a couple years, said, you know what? I don't care about the stats. Again, why is this kid talking about money? Well, in sports, what is it about? Winning. Not the numbers, not so it's about, and that's kind of what they got this year with, you know, kind of an ugly, banged up, you know, three main guys are out on offense and they're winning games. So I hope people appreciate it because there's not a lot of window dressing on it, but the results are pretty good.
We're joined by Earl Forsey, voice of, surprisingly, PGA Tour Radio, as well as doing a little bit of football on the side there in Washington, D.C. Hey, other announcement, Frank, that came out. And
no,
Earl,
I do a lot of sports, and I do some golf on the side.
Paul Azinger replacing Johnny Miller in the booth there for NBC. How do you feel about that one, Earl? Is that, and you do,
doesn't,
not exactly what Azinger's going to do or Johnny did, but you're certainly in the booth and doing all that stuff. Is Azinger a good fit for this? And what did you think about Johnny?
I think it's fine. It doesn't affect me. It does, you know, it's a TV side.
Well, yeah, well, put any money in your pocket. I get you.
I think people get too, you know, too wrapped up in who's on, who's not. All those broadcasts, everybody does a decent job. So I don't worry about who's in, who's out, unless it's me.
Do you like Azinger, Frank?
I do like Paul Azinger. I mean, I met Paul long before I was in this business. Years ago down in Florida, Central Florida. And what a nice guy. He's been through it in his life. He's had cancer. He beat cancer.
Yeah.
He's a good dude. I mean, I like Paul Azinger. He's much like Johnny Miller in that he says what he thinks, like Earl does. I mean,
yeah,
kind of like
direct,
you, Tim.
Very direct.
But I want to back up to something outside of that. We're talking football. We're talking Redskins. And we're talking Cowboys. Nobody said a word about the Super Bowl champ, upcoming Super Bowl champ, the University of Alabama, which will be.
I just did.
Yeah, I know. I mean, no, but that's the front.
Half the Redskins roster.
I know.
Alabama, and the other quarter of it's Virginia Tech.
But here's the deal. Alabama. Let's look at NCAA for just a minute. I mean, I had to. Ole Miss jumps out against Alabama, 7-0, 15 seconds into the game, 62-7, final score.
You got them mad. You poked the bear.
Yeah, we did. And we had beaten them two previous years, once in Oxford and once in Tuscaloosa. So, you know, Nicky Boy was not happy with us.
No.
Then they played Tennessee this past week in Knoxville, where after the first quarter, the stadium was basically empty. And that's one of the biggest stadiums in college football is Neyland Stadium in Knoxville, Tennessee. They crushed Tennessee. Tennessee threw up 21 on them. Okay. Alabama, I mean, why don't they just draft the entire team and rename it and put it in London like the NFL wants to do anyway?
Or replace the Giants because I think they might have a good game against the Giants
now. That's my boy Eli, but boy, it's just not a good thing going right now.
Here's what I'm going to say about that, Frank. Here's what I'm going to say, and I've been saying this all year. Notre Dame will win the national championship.
No, I don't think so.
Sticking by it. So we'll see what Alabama. Alabama will not go undefeated. That's my other part of that. Maybe it's the same answer.
Well, who's going to beat them?
But Alabama won't go undefeated.
LSU. I predict Notre Dame. Anybody, I think LSU will beat them in Baton Rouge night game.
I just think they're due for a letdown. They're due for an Ohio State-Purdue game, right? I mean, who saw that thing coming other than I did? I called that one too. But other than that, I call all the upsets. It's usually the next day that I call them, but I do get it up there. I think they're going to have that kind of a letdown, but somebody, and until their quarterback is going to have an off game. I think Alabama is very good, but I do think they're going to hit a road bump. Somewhere, it might be the championship game, but I think that they will. Okay, Earl. Let's get to what we needed to get to. Okay, we covered Kepka. We covered
football stuff.
I want Earl's opinion on the Alabama thing. I mean, I just think that there's just no better team out there.
He just cares if they go to Washington or not. He doesn't care what Alabama
I don't blame
is otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, it's college football. We don't care about that much here. You know,
DC. Georgetown's got a good team.
In these areas, it's all about pro sports. Yeah. We watch. You know, I watch it. I used to cover college football. I used to work in the satellite college football channel.
Yeah.
College basketball.
But you got nothing. You got Maryland.
But, you know, but around here, look, Alabama's obviously, and they brought it up during the game. It was Danielson, I guess, during the game the other day. Brought up that Tennessee, you know, here's the difference. And this is what other people will point out, too, in other areas when guys come in and they don't, you know, fare well in the NFL. It's like, what happened? And I had, it was a very famous Heisman Trophy winner that just didn't work out in the NFL, like many of them do. And I was talking to one of his coaches who coached him in the NFL and coached him in college, too. It's like, you know, how, why doesn't that translate? And he explained to me, you know, it's the, when you think about it, it makes sense. He's like, look, even at the program he's at, which was a, you know, top-notch program, one of the powers in college football, he's playing maybe two guys, possibly three, in an entire season of college football. He's playing against, you know, one-on-one matchups, probably two or three, maybe three of those guys who will even play in the NFL. And maybe one or two of those guys are going to be a starter in the NFL. And maybe one or none of those guys is going to be a really good player in the NFL. So, it's tough. The translation is tough. And Danielson brought up this thing the other day. He was watching kind of the Alabama, you know, Tide start rolling. He's like, look, because I don't mean, you know, no offense in this, but how many guys on Tennessee's roster would even make the Alabama football team, let alone start them? But the reality is it's true.
That's very true.
You know, almost every week. Now, you go against Clemson or, you know, Ohio State, stuff like that, that changes. But the fact is they got the best players and they got the best coach. I mean, it's
– Yeah. And recruiting's a big part of it.
Come in, and this is part of this whole Redskin dynamic that they draft all these Alabama guys because they're ready. They don't have – and these guys, first and second year, certainly the second year guy, Jonathan Allen, when things went south in New Orleans, he was the guy ranting and raving, a quiet kid, but – it was like, you know, this is unacceptable. I'm not used to losing, especially like this, from where I come from. So those guys, that's why you bring those guys in, culture changers. So it's not surprising. If Alabama's going to get beat, I just hope it's not Notre Dame, though.
Can't wait for it to happen, Earl.
I hope it's not Notre Dame.
You're going to be on with us the next day when it happens, Earl.
No, it won't. I spent so much of my, you know, young career at Westwood One Mutual Radio, which we did Notre Dame football.
I can't stand Notre Dame.
Hear from all those people all week long.
At least Alabama people don't
Before
have a lot of words.
Before I was allowed to have an opinion about it. So, anyway, you know, I just...
Hey, y'all.
Frank, just get that fight song. Get that fight song, would you? Get that Notre Dame fight song. Can you cue that up for us so we can play that
Oh, that's Alabama. I'm sorry.
Don't get that.
I heard it more than I heard the Ole Miss fight song. Trust me.
Earl, I got to ask you, too, and I'll be totally honest about this. When I do fantasy football, I very seldom ever pick a Giant, a Redskin, or an Eagle. And by the way, in my career here in Dallas, Eagles far surpass the other teams, that ones I hate. So the Eagles are way above Washington. I'm not that angry with Washington. I don't mind them. I like Theismann. Oh, yeah, it's a Notre Dame guy. I like some of the different players that Washington's had. I got Adrian Peterson on my fantasy team because I thought he was going to have the kind of year he's having that nobody else seemed to think, like, oh, Adrian, he's done, he's finished. He's not done, is he? Adrian's got some gas in that tank.
Yeah, he tripled up Ezekiel Elliott rushing yards yesterday, basically.
Yeah.
97 to 33 yards. I mean, it's amazing. And you know, he's playing with a dislocated shoulder, which he suffered 2 weeks ago in the New Orleans game and played last week, a week and a half ago, let alone yesterday. And early in that game, he had his left knee hyperextended on the second play of the game. He popped his own shoulder back in when that happened late in the first half of the New Orleans game. So he's only 33 and doing what he's doing. He's doing, you know, he's doing this stuff, and he's not healthy. He maybe shouldn't even be playing, but he's a different dude on the football field. And they just stumbled kind of on him when their running back started falling like flies, you know, preseason. They signed him 2 weeks before two and a half weeks before the season started, and that's a narrative around here. Look, I thought it was a good signing for them. There's something there special about that guy. For a team that was going to change a little bit, not be a throw it all over the, you know, the football field. They're going to be more of a defensive team, more conservative quarterback with Alex Smith. They needed someone. They just didn't have a guy they could rely on to get 3 or 4 or 5 yards. Well, you know, Adrian Peterson is more than reliable. I'm just surprised at how they've been able to, and I've tweeted this yesterday, that not surprised that he's, you know, a great addition to the team, but surprised that he's kind of a workhorse like he is. It's a lot of carries for a normal running back. When you get, you know, 20 carries a game is a lot these days in the NFL.
Sure.
Only guys like Zeke Elliott and stuff are getting that anymore. Todd Gurley, I mean, just the elite guys, and who knows how long, but that's one of the topics in the local media is like, wow, this is really surprising that he's kind of their offense right now. You saw the Dallas game yesterday. I mean, they don't look that good offensively unless they're giving him the ball. It's crazy. He's become not just a key piece, but the centerpiece of the offense. And that's the only thing they can kind of do is run the ball. It's crazy.
So, where did he come out of?
It's surprising.
What program? Do you guys know?
Adrian Peterson. That would be in Oklahoma.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
That explains it.
So it was a long time ago. You can forget because he's like in his 18th year in the league now.
Well, you know, and
phenomenal
history
for the first eight.
There's a history with him. First of all, Trent Williams, who's been like day in, day out, their best player, big left tackle. And he's a monster and he runs fast. He's just crazy. So, you know, he knows him from his Oklahoma days. All those guys are tight, like the Bama guys are tight, all that. And he was kind of really one of those getting in the coach's ear and everything. Like, you know, when things were going kind of bad with the injuries, like, let's bring him in for a look. But he's just sitting out there. And the coaches, the whole story with that is they brought him in for a workout. The GM, well, who they say he's the GM of the team, Bruce Allen, he's losing a little power this year. But he didn't even know
Earl's
Peterson was coming in for a workout. And Jay Gruden tells the story. He's like, yeah, you know, we brought him in. We kind of just taking a look at him. And first of all, they bring in some of these guys, and not to name names, so we know some of these guys that were out there, Jamal Charles and some of these veteran running backs that were on the open market in the preseason. Some of these guys don't want to work out. They want to be signed. And Peterson's like, yeah, I'll come and work out. So he just shows up ready to go. And Gruden said he goes through like an hour and a half workout. He put him through everything, and he's just running. He didn't have like a sip of water. He's just like, right. It was unbelievable. And that's kind of why they said, wow, this is crazy. Let's sign this guy. Yeah. We need help. And that's kind of who he is. He's a freak of, you know, an athletic freak. And I don't know how long it lasts, but it's been not only big key, it has been the key for him. It's crazy.
I do think, and again, we're joined by Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio. And I do think that there's two things that are holding back both these teams, though, Earl, as much as the Redskins may be in first place in a week or two from now. The reason they're not going anywhere and the reason the Cowboys aren't going anywhere and they have the same initials, it's Jay Gruden and Jason Garrett. And I don't think either one of them have what it takes to win big, to win championships, to have the guts to do things. And I think it was on display yesterday. Play calling was dismal. I don't think there's a fire on either one of those teams that gets players playing at a level different than what we saw yesterday. Both of them trying not to lose games. Running the ball when you need a first down to keep the ball out of the Cowboys' hands, and you punt it away because you're conservative and you're running, and they have all the timeouts. They basically gave the Cowboys every opportunity to win that game, and the Cowboys, in turn, aren't good enough to have won the game when it was trying to be handed to them, or at least tie it, because they didn't go far enough, so they had
to rely
on a 48-yard field. They play on a 48-yard field goal.
Two plays. Yeah, last 50 yeah. seconds, 52 seconds of the game, they run two plays. Instead of going to try to give themselves a chance at a touchdown, they kind of play for what was a long field goal.
And that's what they do.
He's not the only one that does it. Teams do it all the time.
They all do it. They all do it except for the ones that are winning big.
Doug Peterson was toast to the NFL last year, right? Wow, they found something. This is right, and he's breaking all the rules and throwing the ball all over the place. Do you see what they did yesterday? 17-0 lead against Carolina, did not throw the ball in the fourth quarter with a 17-0 lead. And now he's being roasted for it, right?
Yeah.
Less than half the season after being toasted for not throwing the ball, now he's being roasted for it. Week-to-week league, my friend, week-to-week.
And by that, they all by fall those, into it. They all fall into
metrics,
it.
By those metrics, the Chiefs have no chance of winning, by your metrics, because Andy Reid's the same kind of guy when you get to the playoffs. Can't win with him as a coach. So
when you get to the playoffs, that's and you're right. And I think the guys that say, you know, we have to go for it because my career, they all want Andy Reid's career. You may never win anything, but I'll coach in the league for 20 years. That's what a lot of these guys are saying, and they'll do. We all know that if you're Jason Garrett and you're going in your eighth or ninth year and you haven't done it, you're not going to do it. It's not going to happen in your – it never does. It's always the young guy that comes – or a guy that comes to a new organization, and yet coaches stick around. They try to not lose a game. Let's see if we can get in the playoff conversation.
Well, it's survival, I can't blame them.
House note.
But, yeah, you're right. And, you know, and we've had a guy in Bill Belichick that for the most part – and nothing's 100%. But in Belichick's run with the Patriots – every gamble and unconventional, it seems like, that's not all of them, but pretty much every unconventional or gamble that he takes, unconventional move, it works. Whether it's not calling a timeout when Russell Wilson and the Seahawks are, you know, driving in for what looked like the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, or going for these fourth and ones, you know, like in the first quarter when he, it's all these things that usually work out for him. And it's, you know, it's just, maybe it's just right time, right place, but it doesn't work. Look, Mike Vrabel did the same thing yesterday in the London game. I'm on the air, started. And he scored the touchdown. Yeah. I'm like, well, they're going to tie, you know, I'm on. As they score, it's like, oh, it's 21, what was it, 2019, they're going to tie it up. And then I saw it went final. Yeah. And we were kind of, I was on the air, so I wasn't watching. It was like, he went for two to win? That's a gutsy move.
I liked it. I liked it. Didn't work out, but it sends a message. I like the players thinking that.
But, I think the team plane's been diverted, boys. It's probably going to Chicago.
But, okay, it's cute. You do it, and you don't get a win. Next time he doesn't, then it starts being a pattern. And it's like, what are you doing, dude? Okay, that's what I'm saying. And, look, baseball has become so analytical now with these numbers and wars and all these things.
Bullpen starts a game.
But, but you know what? NFL has done that. People hate the prevent defense, okay? People hate it. But I had an NFL defensive coordinator sit me down. We were talking about it. He pulled out his book. He showed me everything. He showed me the numbers. This was 20 years ago. They had numbers on this stuff. On leads, you know, the amount of your lead and the time left in a game. And what your percentages are for winning. If you just basically attrit the clock at that point. You don't have to play defense. Just extend the game. Just let the clock run. And the numbers are like in the 90%, you know, 93%, not depending on your lead. So that's why teams play prevent defense. It drives fans nuts. But the percentages say it works. You know, if you're a baseball guy and you had a hitter that was on your bench that had a 95% success rate of getting a hit against a pitcher that just came in the game, you're putting him in. I mean, that's like a no-brainer. So I understand your theory, and I know that, but you're right. I mean, guys, it's I can't blame someone for, you know, trying to save their jobs and trying to not make the killing mistake. That was the thing with the two-pointer when it came in, that, you know, coaches kind of didn't want it because not that it gave them a chance to win a game. It gave them a chance to be second-guessed on a mistake that could win or lose a game. You know what I'm saying? There were a lot of head coaches that didn't – it's like they just don't want that to be part of the equation because it just gives them something else they can be scrutinized about. And, you know, that's kind of the mentality some places. And I don't know. I don't know. My thing is, look, I know Jason Garrett is always a guy that, you know, he's going to go, that's going to cost him his job, and it doesn't. Because the owner is in a safe place with him.
Yeah, apparently.
And there's something to be said for that. He's been around
an asylum.
He's got to be one of the longer tenured coaches in football now.
I know.
Jason Garrett.
So he wins, I guess, in his world. He's like, see, I did it. I'm in my ninth year coaching. How many of you other guys are going in three?
I mean, he's coached there longer than Jimmy Johnson, right?
Oh yeah.
He's
second to Landry in team wins. I mean, Cowboys history, he's second to Landry. Yeah.
But it's crazy, I know, and you can make a case on that side, but I'm not going to sit there and say this guy can't win a Super Bowl, whether it's Gruden or him, because you just I think it's anymore you don't need to be Lombardi or Parcells to win Super Bowls. I think it's a huge advantage with Belichick and New England, and obviously he's kind of the cream of the crop guy right now. But look at the Rams with Sean McVay, who's almost young enough to be my son. You know, I mean, that's crazy. And what he does and like the genius of the league. He was here with the Redskins. He was like the quarterbacks coach, and then the offense.
You had him. You had him right there. You let him go.
I know. Well, believe me, that's a topic. but they just. Who's going to hire a 33-year-old guy to be a head coach? That was kind of their thought. Like, he just
only a nut in L.A. would do that. Yeah.
Well, they did, you know, because they knew he was here. And Gruden was, you know, that was before his contract extension, which he's on like another 2 years. So, yeah, that was a thought like, yeah, well, it's one of those guys that may be ready to take the next step if something goes south. And, you know, these guys get interviews all the time. It takes them 2 or 3 or 4 years sometimes to, you know, they go through the process. It's like this whole NFL dance that they do.
So you're saying, saying that Jeff Fisher won't be coming back.
How much of an indictment is that on him, by the way?
Oh,
what Sean McVay is doing with that team. Part of that is,
I know,
right,
is Wade Phillips. Now, a big part of that is Wade Phillips.
Well, sure.
That is a perfect marriage. Young head coach, first job, and then
a 90-year-old defensive coordinator.
But the guy that's just, like, everybody loves him, and he, you know, he's really good at his job. What were the Denver Broncos thinking when they just let him go? I mean, really? I mean, it's unbelievable. That stuff is unbelievable. That's a perfect marriage. But they just figured, oh, he's going to get an interview, he's going to get a taste, and he won't get hired. Well, he did, and he's you know, he's the savant, football savant of the NFL. He's really good. He is that kind of guy, that young dude that just absorbs everything. I don't know if you saw the video he had online when it was a Bleacher Report, I think, or something a few weeks ago. I played it on the air, where these guys started quizzing him about plays in the Redskins, you know, from like 2 years ago. Tampa game, 4th and 2 at their 27. What do you run? And he, like, throws it out. Oh, that was a, you know, a trips left. You know, we ran a boot option for the touchdown pass. It was like, he hit it. He was like, yeah, that's right. That's the kind of guy he is. It's not a joke with McVay. It's crazy, like, savant-like. I don't know, but you're right. But now, is that a guy you can win with? I don't know. I don't know if there's that formula anymore.
I do know this. I think what we have learned, and I give Peterson some credit for this, a lot more teams have realized they can go for it on fourth down without having to be on the other team's 20-yard line. And you see a lot more teams, even in college, thinking, well, it's only a yard. I mean, I can reach my arm out and put the ball, and I got a first down. Why am I giving you the ball back? So I'm going to – and you see a lot of teams going for 4th and 1, 4th and a little bit less than 1, on their own 47-yard line now, 42-yard line.
Well, it's Now, two-pointers, the numbers would say because of the percentage of two-pointers you make, it's actually statistically better to just go for two. Really, in all honesty, go for two all the time.
You
score statistically long-term more points than just kicking one every time, if that makes sense. Because the statistical probability of making a two-pointer is over 50%. So you're better off actually going for two. But nobody's going to do that. I mean, but you're right with the fourth down thing. But you know, Parcells used to do that every once in a while. The Redskins would do it back in the 80s when they had Riggo. You know, it's like, okay, we'll be fine. And we can get 2 yards without even calling a play. I mean, you know.
Well, and the size of quarterbacks now, too. It's like, why am I even going backwards and handing it off? I can push, and I should be able. Now, of course, yesterday, what happened in a fourth down gamble for the Cowboys, Earl?
Yeah.
Not only did they not make it, they fumbled the ball, Frank.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
Dak Prescott fumbles the ball, even. How about
Where did he go to school? Dak Prescott came out of where?
The Redskins are at the 50, and they got a chance to go up 14-0, and they did nothing with that drive either. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
They turned the ball over at the 50, and still didn't give up any points. And that's the other thing.
Away.
The thought in the NFL, and a lot of football, rightfully so, has been, boy, you turn the ball over there. You know, we can't go for it at our own 49 because they're going to take it in for a touchdown. But, you know, that doesn't happen. More often than not, those drives stall out too. So I think it's kind of loosened coaches up a little bit, saying, okay, we'll go for it. If we don't make it, you know, we'll at least hold them to a field goal. Is that? But those are – in games, possessions are precious in all of football.
Yeah.
You only get –
sometimes
you get
one a quarter.
12 a game. And I think that's, you know, that's kind of become a little bit more the norm, that you got possession of the football. If you can't get half a yard, I mean, there's a little theory. If you can't get half a yard, you don't deserve to win anyway. And I can't argue against it.
Shouldn't be there anyway.
Yeah.
So. Hey, again, we're talking with Earl Forbes with PGA Tour Radio. Earl, are you doing the Sanderson Farms Championship next week when everything's going to, or a lot of players are going to the World Golf Championships in China, and the other half will be at the Sanderson Farms Championship? You're going to be doing that one?
Yep, we do that. We got about a four-week run here to take you through up into the holidays. So, Sanderson, it's been a couple of weeks off. It's felt like forever for me, actually.
It has felt like forever.
You get on these runs, and I've been doing a lot of work in D.C. I mean, I've been working almost every day, but it just feels like after that, like, sprint to the finish, and you end the season, and then I did Ryder Cup the next week on satellite, and then you go right in the sky. It just feels like it's never ending. And then 2 weeks, it seems like a long time. But it's not. And we've got four straights. So we got Sanderson Farms, then Vegas, Shriners, and then Mayakoba, and then mid-November, the RSM Classic right before the holidays.
Yes, the island, yeah.
So a four-week run and five tournaments. And you mentioned the HSBC Champions. You know, this is, you know, we'll keep you up on that. We're not broadcasting that. We're doing Sanderson Farms, so it starts Thursday on PGA Tour Radio. But, this was where, in essence, Justin Rose's run to the FedEx Cup title. Began a year ago. He came back. DJ had that big lead and blew it on the final round. And Justin Rose came, he was eight back, I think, and won the tournament. And, you know, that's October. And then all the way around the calendar. And at the end of the year, he ends up being FedEx Cup champion. And that's kind of where it started, you know, a year ago this week.
It is. Good. It'll be a good tournament. Both of those will be great tournaments. And so everybody needs to be sure to tune in starting on Thursday, the Sanderson Farms Championship. And Frank's one of his
old
back
ground.
Parts of the world,
Jackson,
yeah, Jackson, Mississippi.
Country Club Jackson.
Should be a lot of fun. A lot of chicken on the bone right there.
Joe Sanderson, great sponsor on the PGA Tour, folks.
Yes, he is. Joe Sanderson is a first-class man.
Yes, he is.
He wants to step it up, Frank. He wants to go from this event. He wants to move into a different, so he's not like an alternate tournament kind of thing. Yep. And he's very, very interested in doing even more, which is great for the PGA Tour.
Eat more chicken.
To have good sponsors like that. Eat more chicken, you'll be a good guy.
More chicken, baby.
Earl, we appreciate your time as always. I don't appreciate you ripping on the Cowboys. That's very insensitive of you. It hurts my feelings. I got to go through it.
And that's exactly what I was going for.
So your day has been made. Perfect.
Insensitivity and hurt feelings is kind of what I'm doing on a daily basis.
Hope you're
getting money. Give me money. All right, Earl. Have a great week at Sanderson Farms, okay?
All right.
See you, pal.
We'll talk to you. Bye.
Thanks.
Take care. Earl Forsey, PGA Tour Radio.
Whew. I'm exhausted.
And stick in the mud.
I'm exhausted. I just sat here and let you boys go. I said, you know what? I don't have anything to add to this, so I'm going to take a nap, maybe get some coffee. Yeah.
You kind of had your hangover going.
I brushed the dog's teeth. You know,
it was a good time. Yeah.
Had my hangover phone calls. Going on. Thank you. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Had three pints of coffee.
I loved it when Earl said, I hate golf, basically. I was like,
I
what?
Said that. He just said I do a lot of other sports, and I kind of do a little golf on the side.
Yeah, I know. He's a freak. He loves golf, and you know it.
So much fun. So much fun. Well,
Earl is a blast to talk to.
Some really good tournaments coming up with Sanderson Farms. Again, the tournament in Shanghai. Then Shriners. We got some tournaments we'll be heading to a tour as well because some of these, boy. You know what I'd love to do, Frank? Let's see if we can go to the RSM.
I've been to RSM. Let me tell you something. Sea Island. You know, my
I'd love to go to
live
Sea Island
there.
One. That's in November.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's just so beautiful. It's a different – you cross over the bridge onto St. Simon's.
Yeah.
And it's like time stood still for years there. It's just fabulous. Laid back. Yeah. Great food.
You just feel safe and secure and happy. I mean, it's just like you've gone to almost like the Disneyland. You know,
it's a really wonderful rich adults. Yeah,
it's a really nice. Is that Jekyll Island? Is that where you cross over?
Well, Jekyll. There are two islands. St. Simon's Island. Well, Sea Island is off of St. Simon's, but you have Jekyll Island. That's a different island. The Jekyll Island Club. They've redone that. The golf courses there are incredible. And they're just right there next to each other. So. Come off of one island and drive a few miles and go across the bridge to another island. It's great.
Yep. I think it was. I'm losing track of hurricanes. Was it last year that they had the big hurricane that they were a bit concerned about Sea Island?
Yeah. It was.
Was that last year? I think they survived because I remember there's a number of pro tour players that live there. Zach Johnson being one, and I think Zach said that he went home afterwards. They were away during the hurricane, and it actually wasn't as bad as they thought it might be. So I think
trees and things. Yeah. Those trees are so old there and so huge. A lot of Spanish moss. I mean, it's just that look. You know, at dusk, it's like midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. I mean, it can get a little spooky there too, kind of like Savannah.
Those trees, if they could talk, it's like the home of America as we know it. I mean, those trees go back to. Columbus and people coming across, landing right there, you know, 400 years ago. So,
I'll tell you what those trees go back to. Great place. For our listeners, there was a book written called The Creature of Jekyll Island. That's where the Federal Reserve was formed. The trains came in secretly, bringing the powers at the time, all the big money guys in the early part when they formed the Federal Reserve. Couldn't form a central bank, so they formed the Federal Reserve, and there's a book written about it, and it was done right there on Jekyll Island.
Is
really
it
huge,
I didn't
huge
know that.
Economic.
So this is like too. This was like 100 years ago or something.
Oh, yeah.
Or,
yeah.
I don't know when that was formed. Oh,
yeah, okay. Because you had the Rockefellers and the Morgans and who else? All the big boys, the big money guys.
The Gettys, the Pope. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
The Pope didn't get to come to that one. boat was too slow.
That's an old Mike Myers line from one of his movies.
Exactly.
So he married an ex-murderer. Yeah, he talks about that.
The actress
the five
in that
families.
Movie was really cute, dude. What was her name?
If you wouldn't have asked
me,
I could
have
told
you
that, too.
Hey, what is the shortest lived, and I don't know the answer to this, I'm just going to throw it out, shortest lived world number one on the PGA, or World Golf Ranking?
Yeah, I think
Justin
there were, no, was it,
I don't know.
No, I think, who am I thinking of? The Englishman that about 10 years ago. Didn't he have it for just a few days? Not a big hitter. Blonde guy. Oh, come on. Who am I thinking of?
Blonde
guy. He was an alternate. Yeah, blonde guy from England.
I thought you said blind guy.
No, that was number one for a very short time. Oh, come on. Who am I thinking of?
I don't remember.
He was one of the captains for this year's Ryder Cup.
Really?
With Thomas Bjorn. Yeah, I'll think of it here. But I think there have been a couple of,
just
ones
a week.
That have lasted like a week or maybe 2 weeks. And I think that's about as short as it's been. And then, you know, again, we did get spoiled with Tiger because Tiger hung on to it for a long time. And DJ's been number one for a long time. And he got kind of displaced for a week and then came back again. So I agree. It's not always kept up with as much as it used to be. But there's a pride factor. I mean, even if you go back to, I think it's around 80 that they started doing this for world rankings, there's only been less than 20 guys have been number one in the world, something like that, since 1980. So it's still a pretty elite thing to become the number one golfer in the world, even if it is for a limited time. I think Greg Norman might have been the first one back when they started officially doing it.
Well, thank God I've never aspired to be number one in the world in golf because I've never been number one in the world in golf.
Or on my block, even.
Hopefully I finished strong today in this the Ray Stevens tournament, which, by the way,
what's that for?
Shriners Hospital for Children.
There you go.
The little fellow who does the commercials with the little blanket? He was there last night.
Yes.
Sweetheart.
Oh, really?
He's basically grown young man, but what a sweetheart of a person. Yeah, a lot of Shriners there last night, which tells you what happened. You know, Shriners do know how to throw a party. But, it's going to be a great tournament today, and it is at a Club Corp facility because this is one of the things Club Corp does. They're sponsoring this charity drive. Every one of their clubs has a charity drive. So this one will be at Temple Hills Country Club in Franklin, Tennessee, and that's a Club Corp property. So we'll all be there today playing golf. It's cold and foggy here, though, man. It's we tee off at noon. So
at noon.
Hopefully it warms up. Yeah. I think high today's 65 in Nashville. Ooh, that's like freezing to me. But
yeah.
Put on a
parka. That could be.
Hey, before we get out of here, just to recap, Laura Davies won the second annual Senior LPGA Championship presented by Old National Bank, and we were there all week. Wow, what a great time. The course, let me tell you something, Tim, they played it at 6,100 yards. You and I couldn't play that course at 6,100 yards in the conditions those ladies played that course.
Is that right?
Couldn't
have
done it. Man, it was wind was howling, and it was cold, 39, 38 degrees. Oh, it was brutal. And, you know, it's illegal to take your golf balls and put them, like, in a warmer pocket in a golf bag. You knew that, right?
I think I did know that, but I don't know that.
Can't do it.
I can't imagine how anybody would ever.
But there's nothing that says you can't hold that ball in your mitt when you have hot hands stuffed down in your mitt.
Yeah, well, there's ways around things.
Always ways around that, yeah.
And kind of a goofy rule anyway, right?
It really is, because the golf ball, you know, they get cold. They're just like hitting a rock. It's just horrible.
Yeah.
So.
Well, plus you can hold it in your hand, and you know, let's be honest, it's kind of like a penguin holding its egg, you know, in Antarctica. It's like if you hold it to your body, it'll still get just as warm if you put it in a pocket of your golf bag. So why would it matter? So, oh, by the way, oh, I have an answer for my question. Luke Donald was the
Luke
guy.
Donald. Luke
remember
Donald.
Luke Donald?
Like Luke Donald.
He actually, actually was number one for a while. I'm looking at the world, the weekly, how many weeks you're number one.
Yeah.
And you're right. Justin Rose, just a week.
Justin Rose.
I'm sorry, 2 weeks. Yeah. Tom Lehman, just 1 week at number one.
Oh.
That he held the position way back when. Bernhard Langer for 3 weeks. Justin Thomas was just number one for a month. Martin Keimer for 2 months. So that's kind of the
a week.
David Duval, Adam Scott. These guys. This is most of them, Frank. Right. So I'm going all the way up to. Let's go all the way to Rory. Rory's number one for 95 weeks. Pretty good run.
How many
weeks? DJ just finished 81. Tiger 683 weeks. If 90 weeks puts you fourth all time, like if you make it 90 weeks, you're right there with Rory. You're at 90 weeks. He was 683 weeks.
Unbelievable.
At number one. Pretty
unbelievable.
Amazing. Yeah. And second is Greg Norman, who's about halfway there.
Yeah.
Norman's at 330. And nobody else is even to 100 weeks. So it's really Norman and Tiger. Faldo, 97 weeks. Didn't quite make it to 100 weeks. So it's a pretty exclusive lick of guys here. But, yeah, some of them didn't hang in there all that long to stay number one. But even if you could get there for a little bit, Jordan Spieth in his day is now, I believe, out of the top 10 even.
Yeah.
Jordan Spieth was 26 weeks that he was there. So, yeah, we'll see. It's kind of a neat little list there. Australia, Jason
Day.
That's
kind of a shame for Jordan Spieth. All
right.
If he gets his putting all squared away and get him back on track next season.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see that. Sanderson Farms is this week, Jackson, Mississippi. Don't know, but I'll probably go down there. It's just close enough. I need to go. Just to at least
they need consideration of
Joe. I mean, Joe Sanderson man is the best, and I have a lot of friends, you know, down in Jackson. So,
you know what? If you know Joe Sanderson, I don't know him very well, but I did meet him because the minister at my church, it's his wife's uncle, I believe. There's some family connection to my minister, and so at his mother's funeral that I went to, my pastor, Ed Young, his mother passed away, and Joe was there, and I got to meet him, and we talked about me being there for the tournament and the alligator and the whole thing and everything. So there's a family connection because he's like, oh, anytime you come, just let me know, and I'll put you up in the house. And I'm like,
yeah,
really?
That's the way he is. Yeah, come on over. Stay at the house. That's just the way the man
nicest
is.
Guy.
And by the way, we didn't mention our buddy Ryan Palmer. He finished, I believe, fourth at Nine Bridges.
Had a good run. Yeah, had a good tournament.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan's playing some really good golf, and good on he and his family, everything they've been through, and surgeries and problems and cancer and all sorts of stuff. So,
yeah.
Man, he's a good dude. Really like Ryan
Palmer. And he was down for a little bit just because of all those things you were mentioning, and I think he's gearing up for a pretty good year. Yeah. This could be a really good year for him. So
I talked to his caddy at Aronimink, and I was looking at Ryan's clubs, which were like 3-4 generations back, right, old. He just will not change. But he is, we're talking about, he's one of the last really true field players out there. And he can tell. What was so funny is he was messing around with two irons, and he told his caddy, well, this one doesn't seem quite right. So they pull out some lead tape and get it like a dot and put it on the club in a certain position. And he goes, okay, that's right now. Off by a gram.
Really?
I'm like, what?
Yeah, that'd be some feel.
What? Come on.
Which is hard to imagine, because if you ever meet most golfers, like professional golfers, guys that played a long time, their hands are like pieces of meat in the sense of they're big, they're thick, they're rough, they're strong. They don't feel the finesse that you would think you would have to feel like a surgeon's hands that can tell the difference between a scalpel weight. And yet these guys can, with those big meat cleaver hands, have the feel that they feel.
Well,
it's amazing to me.
For instance, John Daly. Some of the best hands in golf. I mean, and he's like, he got two big paws, like a bear paws.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Arnold Palmer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Two of the biggest hands I've ever shaken in my life.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's like scary how
shook his hand.
Yeah. How strong those hands were. And yet you could still have a little finesse chip or something. I'm like, wow, it seems a bit of a dichotomy. By the way, I did tell you before we went on the air, I had a weird dream last night that I played golf with Tiger Woods in England.
Yeah.
I don't know why, or Scotland. I was somewhere over there. And Tiger comes up to me and he goes, hey, you want to play? And I'm like, yeah, I guess. I was just putting on the green, and he just walked by. Because, of course, this would happen.
Oh,
and
of course.
Fine. He goes, yeah, like, I got an opening. You want to play? Yeah, so I played. And so all I remember – here's what's weird about this, right? Dr. Bob's going to have to figure this one out. I went to tee off on the first hole. Don't ask me why. I had a really exceptionally long tee. And so I was a little bit weird, and I didn't know why I had a long tee, but I did. And I'm trying to hit it, and the ball's literally 6 inches, 7 inches off the ground. And as I swung at it, the club flew out of my hands and almost took Tiger's head off, who was like over here, because I had to reach for the ball. It was too high. And, and so that just started, that he teed off, he started going. I went in the clubhouse, I think, to get some more tees. And I got lost in the clubhouse, which was like, I know I'm getting deep here, which was like a dungeon.
Deep,
so I'm going through this
stuff.
I'm going, yeah, I'm going through this medieval chambers of a clubhouse down in a basement. Oh yes, and I'm like, I'm
this
lost, and I'm trying to get
shows off the rails.
Will somebody help me? I come back up. Finally, I surface. I figure out how to get out of this clubhouse to back on the golf course. By then, Tiger's already finished his round, and he's in this really cool purple Jaguar sports car. You remember those old ones, like, you know, from the 60s?
XKE?
The really cool,
yeah,
the long, the really long, cool ones.
Gorgeous car.
He's in a purple one of those. Look at the specifics.
Okay,
I have in my dream.
Color.
And he drives off.
The
purple
is,
Jaguar.
Is like,
and he drives off.
To Christianity. I think you've got some severe problems, Tim.
I think bottom line, that's kind of what I'm saying. Yeah, bottom line, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I have no idea what that was
about. Next time you go to the cryo tank, you're not supposed to stand on your hands, okay?
Because
you froze your
head. Don't put your head. Yeah, don't put your head in there, Tim. That's a problem you had.
God.
Yeah, got the wrong part frozen.
Wow.
Anyway, that was my weird dream.
I didn't have any dreams last night. I just woke up with a pounding headache this morning.
But there was purple in your night, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was a lot of purple.
A lot of purple.
I tweeted out a picture I took last night. Club Corp just retweeted it. Shriners Hospital just retweeted it of Ray on stage, Ray Stevens. So for those of you
out there
who don't know what he looks like or whatever, check it out. It's at Golf Talk America, at Club Corp, at Shriners Hospitals. It was a great show, buddy. I'm telling you, the full band, the acoustics and cabaret. If you come to Nashville, go to cabaret. Because it's a show. It's like Vegas style inside. Beautiful, big round leather booths and stuff. It's really
nice, neat.
And ended up accidentally winning a bunch of stuff on the auction because I pressed the wrong button. So, well, wait for that American Express bill to come in. Oh, boy.
Oops.
Yeah, it wasn't oops. I'm dead serious.
Nice. Now you got it.
Yeah, look.
What's a good connection? Because the Shriners tournament in Vegas coming up in a couple weeks.
It is coming up.
Yeah,
yeah. It sure is. It's going
to
be a great tournament.
We've been to in the past too.
We were out there two years ago, I think. Marcus Brunell from Azalea Hospitality and I were out there, and had a blast. Marcus, by the way, rented a Jaguar. Oh, Jaguar. Here I go. A Mustang convertible. We never put the top up the whole week. We stayed at Aria, who was our sponsor for staying.
Really.
And never put the top up. And we went back and forth to TPC Summerlin and almost died several times with Marcus texting and driving. But, but I just would reach over and grab the wheel. let's go this way.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm playing today in a tournament with Burton Gilliam, our good friend.
Yeah,
and,
Blazing Saddles.
Playing up at a course called The Tribute and benefiting cystic fibrosis. So, yeah, happy about that. And do all we can to help out a little bit. Had a dinner last night and an auction and kind of a country concert and stuff with some local musicians. And so, yeah, it's kind of we almost did the same thing from night to night.
Yeah, you know, but you probably
played a little golf today.
Stayed away from the hooch, and I didn't. So.
Yeah, I didn't delve into the was it like a $3.99 bottle of wine?
No. It was good wine. This place serves first class provisions.
Oh.
The food. We were just walking around with trays all night of just meatballs and shrimp, and it was incredible. It was great. Finger sandwiches and salmon. It was something else.
Well,
little cheesecake bites. Yes, sir. Jump
that's
right
what
in
did
there,
you.
Bobby.
That's what did you.
Oh,
the cheesecake.
Well, Cabernet and cheesecake, you know, it's a brutal combination. Anyway.
I guess so.
Well,
all right.
So when the PGA Tour hears this show, it's been off the rails. It's been ESPN, it's been Oprah.
That's what happens.
It's
what
been
happens. It's Earl's fault. It's not our fault.
It's Earl's fault.
It's
Earl's fault.
It's all his fault.
Mr. Executive Producer. We know who they are.
Blame it on Earl.
Right?
Blame it on Earl. We blame everything
get us
on
out
Earl.
Of here.
All right. That should
I'm
do
going
it.
To play golf.
The aforementioned Earl Forsey, thanks so much for being with us. Be sure to listen to him and all the other guys from PGA Tour Radio with the Sanderson Farm Championship coming up this week on PGA Tour Radio. You're gonna love it, you're gonna have a great time. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Please remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.